9FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. We're here with a new session of 200 High Street, otherwise known as the McKelvey Tapes. And today we have a wonderful and exciting and very excited visitor to our show, John White. John is a junior-ish.
Yeah, that's a good way of describing it.
And he's a really interesting member. He's been living in McKelvey since the fall semester and has been a great, great new member, building community and all that stuff. So we're here. John has a really interesting theme, and I find it fascinating that someone. What year were you born in, John?
1998.
No, actually, don't speak into that mic because this mic's not working. Just speak.
You're okay, good. 1998.
1998, and yet the theme of your playlists happens to be focused on songs from what years?
The 60s and 70s.
But specifically?
69 to 73.
I don't know. It just happened. It happened that way. I was like looking up
songs to put in this playlist, which was hard. That was not an easy task. Mm. And I was picking out my favorite songs, which go across genre, but I defined it the classical rock and like soft rock. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, I was like, oh, okay, well, this is interesting. Most of these are probably in the 60s and 70s. And then I started looking up the dates, and like 10 out of the 11 songs were from 69 to 73. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that before, but now I do.
Why do you, like, when did you start listening to this kind of music? Is it music that you're, I know that in your family, lots of you are really into opera, it seems like, and that's really cool. This is obviously different to that experience. Was this, I mean, did your parents listen to this kind of music?
No, definitely not.
Or where did this come from?
Yeah, I don't know. My friend's dad loved this type of music, but it was much more like 80s, like rock, so like AC/DC and stuff like that. So I don't really know how I got into this, but I got into it in, like, junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I like it a lot. I think it has, like, a lot of different styles and subgenres to it. And I try, like, to explore those subgenres through this playlist, which goes from, like, a much more intense beginning to, like, a slower ending, which is, like, what I like more now.
Okay, cool. So tell me about the first song you're playing, and just introduce it for us, please.
Yeah, so it's Take It Easy by the Eagles.
Great song.
Yes, great song. Other than that, I mean, it's just
do you usually listen to this song?
Like, yeah, so this is a much more intense song. So the playlist goes from like high intensity to low intensity. So if I'm on my way to class or like in the morning I'm walking to class, when I get my day going, I'll listen to this. Pretty high volume. Like, I like it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here we go with the Eagles. 200 High Street. John White is our guest.
Wow.
We just heard a great song by the Eagles, a band based out of Los Angeles, known, I guess, probably primarily for Hotel California, for those who don't know the Eagles. But this is one of John's morning jams.
Yes. yes, that's how I put it. Morning jam.
All right, tell us about the next song. Well, John, first tell me something about you. About how have me. You liked living in the house?
Yeah, I like it a lot. You know, I think we've talked about this before, but I definitely, there's like hidden gems like that I really love, and it's like the main reason why I'm there. It's just the
like hidden gems is in the people.
Yeah, and the people, oh, right, in the comments, yeah, especially during discussion. I mean,
yeah.
I think Brad made a comment the other day of why we don't look at slavery in the same context of like the Holocaust and the atrocities committed in both on almost the same, on the same level.
Right.
And that's something I really hadn't thought about before. And it's an interesting question. So like that was something I really valued in the,
yeah,
I mean, the greater context of the conversation. But mm-hmm. that specific question was like, wow, that's a really good question.
Right. And it's one that like it seems like there should be an answer to, yeah, it. But is the only answer racism? And like, what does it say about? And then we went on to talk, yeah, more about like how we view European life, yeah, exactly, and death versus, no, how we might view, I mean, when I say we, people in general might view the lives and deaths of Africans. So, yeah, it was a really good discussion. I, yes, thought Jordan did a wonderful job.
I agree. So
Lulu,
I like
had
that,
a lot of input.
What?
I said Lulu had a lot of input.
Not really. Well, she was, you know, first of all, she said she wasn't going to come to discussion.
Go off.
Then her dog disrupted our discussion. Then she showed up and wanted to participate. But, you know, we were already like kind of deep into it. She participated a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
We love you, Lulu.
Love you, Lou.
Yeah. So I guess the next song is Spirit in the Night by Bruce Springsteen. This was actually recommended by a friend, like coming into the fall semester, and you just send it over, and I was like, wow, this is good. This is money. Love this. And I was like, oh, this fits this genre of like hype morning songs when, mm-hmm, I'm like trying to get out of bed and like on my way to class. It puts me in like a great mood. And like, yeah, I don't know, like the last song, there's definitely parts where you'll just be like singing along and you'll just be like, oh, let's go. Let's go. Love it.
Let's go to Asbury Park. Well, have you ever been there? That's, no, where he made his debut. Asbury Park is amazing. It's right on the shore. And it's only about an hour and a half from Lafayette College. I mean, we could even do like a group trip, really, there. That would be really cool. And the bar that he first performed at is still there, and they, yeah, still have live music. And now it's becoming, it went through, actually, of course, I have to bring it back to Armenians for a little while. Armenians loved going to Asbury Park in the, yeah, summer times. It was like this big tradition in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And then how did she once introduce me to her parents as, someone from my age cohort, because we don't like each other. So anyway,
oh my God.
So, wow, she started this whole thing, Return to Asbury, that was actually really cool, where Armenians were going back. But there's been a big renaissance in the city itself, with people really getting involved with architecture there and bettering sort of the boardwalk and stuff. But Bruce, always, oh, a classic.
Always a classic.
Always a classic.
Back in the alley, trading hands, long ran into the lake in just his socks and a shirt. Me and Crazy Janie was making love in the dirt, singing our birthday songs. Janie said it was time to go, so we closed our eyes and said goodbye to Gypsy Angel Row. Felt so right. Together we move like spirits in the night.
All night.
In the night.
All night.
Oh, you don't know what they can do to you. Help spirits in the night.
All night.
All night.
All night.
We'll stand right up and let it shoot through. You're like a spirit in the night.
All 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 night.
And we're back with 200 High Street on WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. So, John, why don't you tell us a little about the last song, All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix, and then we're going to be transitioning into a different phase of your playlist.
So, I mean, I think the last four songs or three songs were, like, a pretty high intensity, but... And they all, like, revolve around the Vietnam era. I mean, we kind of cut out one song, and that was, like, Fortunate Son by CCR and one other. But, I mean, that's definitely related to Vietnam. And, I mean, just during this time frame, 69 to 73, you have, like, My Lai, the Tet Offensive in 68. And then you have just 73, you have all troops withdrawing. So, I mean... you definitely can't avoid that and how that influenced this music.
I was thinking also when we were talking about Jimi Hendrix, like he was born in 1942, which is the same year my dad was born. Mm-hmm. And he died, and my dad was in Vietnam too, right? So he was a physician there, so he didn't, participate in the killing, but it was pretty traumatic. But it's interesting, right, to think that my dad, like Jimi Hendrix has been dead since before I was born, right? And imagine if he had lived until now.
It would have been.
I mean.
Yeah, wow.
So strange.
Yeah. I mean, definitely taken too soon. So I think the next song, or the next group of songs are like getting into this soft rock. Uh-huh. And you have like two transition songs being Blackbird and Ooh La La. And then you get into really some soft songs by Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell.
Nice.
And a couple other people. But I think this is like an interesting, this is where I'm at currently. And this is what I listen to really when I have an exam or when I'm like decomposing at the end of the night or like I need to just take a break.
Hopefully
and,
not
like,
decomposing, but decompressing maybe.
Yes, decompressing, decomposing, you know, we'll cut myself a break. And just like trying the like de-stress. So I like these songs a lot. I mean, I listen to this genre in Cuba a lot. And I found out about this like Joni Mitchell song, which you'll hear later in Cuba. And I like love it. I think it's just like really soft. It's like really just pleasing to the ears. And like you just can take a deep breath to it and just enjoy it.
Okay, great. So we're starting this section off with Blackbird by the Beatles.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black.
And we're back.
Can I do?
Yeah.
Well, it's now the Ben Gordon segment of 200 High Street. Thank you, Ben. Super senior.
Thank you. Super senior. That makes it sound like I haven't, I'm here. I thought super seniors are people that don't graduate on time.
Hey. Wonderful senior. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful senior. Yeah, sir, soon to be super senior and wonderful senior. There you go. Okay.
Well, are you real? But you transferred, yeah. So it doesn't really count.
And also, yeah, like, he's just trying to get so much knowledge, so yeah. It also doesn't really count. Yeah, like,
none of my credits transferred. Yeah. So it's kind of shot.
So John, where are you from?
I'm from Bryn Mawr. I was born in Philadelphia, in the city, when I was, like, 6 years old. We moved out to the suburbs. My mom was born in the city. My dad was born in the suburbs, or lived in the suburbs. And now I live in the suburbs, yeah.
Of Philly?
Yes.
Which is Bryn Mawr?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
But not the school or close to the school?
Literally right next to the school. Oh. Probably, let's see, like 3 minutes away. Like, I walk 2 minutes, I see the school.
So that's like 20 minutes from Philly? That's pretty close to Philly, right?
Yeah, it's nice. I like it a lot. I mean, I definitely love being like part of the Philly culture. And Bryn Mawr is a great spot. I mean, it's very nice. It's just like calm. I like the atmosphere a lot. You have some interesting people mm-hmm. there.
I remember visiting Haverford and like falling in love.
Yeah.
And then we went to the financial aid segment. I was like, oh, we really can't do this. I'm like, why did I even visit? It was so weird. I didn't even know because I didn't go to any other schools like that. But I was really? Like, wow, Haverford.
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. It was like the fall too. The leaves were a beautiful color.
That's, you just go explore their campus sometimes. It's great.
And then nothing illicit would happen. No. I hear that you're Jewish.
I am Jewish.
As am I, so it's not that weird of a question.
Good talk.
So you were raised Jewish? Were you bar mitzvahed?
I was bar mitzvahed. I mean, like...
Sorry, gosh.
I miss...
It's just, like, so specific.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering.
I mean, I miss most of the major holidays, so mm-hmm. I can't say how Jewish I am now, but I grew up Jewish, and we're not, like, Hasidic, we're just Reform, which is, like, the least Jewish, but...
Yeah, same.
Same.
Reform. We are Reform.
I'm just juggling. Come on.
So I mean, my parents are like, they'll go to the services sometimes. They really wouldn't go on Saturday night, we'll go to the major holidays. But now mm-hmm. that I'm at school, I'm just like, I have work to do.
Well, I mean, for my parents, they stopped going like basically after I was bar mitzvahed.
Yeah, you know, I got bar mitzvahed and was out. Like, okay, good talk.
Yeah, same. I didn't. Some of the people at my synagogue so annoying.
Really,
I think it's also just it's a question of like you know life. It's not just I don't think it's I think there's you know you're using a specific example of the Jewish community in the United States, but I think lots of people who grow up in religious communities, whether they're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, Baha'i, like people will participate to a certain extent, yeah. And then you reach a certain point where John was saying, like, I just had too much work. And you get focused on just getting to the next stage of your mm-hmm. life. Yeah. And then usually as people mature and they think about families and the yeah. kinds of lives they want to live, they oftentimes will go back to yeah. their church communities or their, yeah. you know, synagogue
and I mean,
communities.
Like, I definitely like the Jewish values, I think, like, or just what... I wouldn't say the values of Judaism, but of the culture and of the people that Jewish values have. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely a sense of, like, family, of, like, respect and just, like, being very respectful to whoever you're being, like, of education and valuing education, of knowledge. So I definitely, like, value that. And I'm thankful that I saw that growing up.
Mm-hmm. And laughter.
Yeah, exactly.
So much laughing.
Maybe your family.
Oh, what?
Yikes.
I mean, maybe New York Jewish.
Yeah, it might be different than Philly.
Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We're having more laughter now that we're grown up. But my family was like, I have five siblings, so like, I have a big family. I had pretty strict parents, so like,
like such a high achieving family. Like,
yeah.
I've had like you're the third yeah. of your family that I've met, and each one is like, I don't know, they're just kind of. they're intense. Each one of you is intense in their own way.
I would agree.
Not in a negative way, but like just, it's pretty remarkable.
I mean, I'm like me and my Jacob, Josh. We had to get our stuff together. We were just like, you can't joke around. Like, you have like I'm like, my mom was like, I'm a busy person. I need you to be respectful of my time and do your part and like not be a burden on me to some extent. So that's like important, and I think that that goes with that intensity and like growing up with that, you see how it
like,
translates.
Like, teach yourself how to computer program or something.
Yeah, but that's like very basic. Like, I got a job out of that, which was
what? Hard. It's but, not like, really basic if you get a job out of it.
Yeah, but like I was just a fraud. Like, I was like, I got a full time salary and I was like,
what?
On my way, and I was like working at Tulane. Oh, it was great, but like I knew minimal stuff. It wasn't like anything. If I came in here, the Lafayette, and now am a computer science major, and was like, that knowledge didn't help me really at all. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would say the intensity of being able to sit down, like I would go over to my grandfather's house and sit from like really 7:30 in the morning to about 9 at night every day for about 7 weeks. And that was just every day. And I guess that intensity is like what I was just brought up with. But that's what I can speak for that about.
Yeah. That is a like you would just do work there?
Yeah, I just sit down all day I'd just sit down at his dining room table. He'd come down for breakfast, he'd see me there like typing away. He'd have no idea what I'm doing. and then he'd come back for dinner. He'd go to work, come back for dinner, and see me typing away. I wouldn't eat dinner with him. And he would ask, and I'd be like, I'm busy. And then I'd leave after dinner. And I mean, it was a cool progression because for 7 weeks I did that. And then one of my friends knew I was doing this and like came to, and was working at this company where I got a job at, and came to me with like several problems throughout a period of like 3 weeks. And I solved those problems, and I ended up getting a job from solving those problems. And I mean, my grandfather seeing that was like he was just proud, and that was like, oh, that's nice. Like, oh, that's sweet.
But your family is like close. I mean, like, you know, maybe you don't joke as much as some other people, but your family, I mean, I remember when I was interviewing you for McKelvey, and then you started to talk about like my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wait, this story is very familiar. Yeah. Like, are you related to Jacob White? And I'm like, yes, my brother. And it was like such a, I mean, because he talked about your grandfather a lot too. And so it was so obvious that this was like most likely the same family. But also Leslie Muehlfelder, your family is very close with her.
I love
the,
Mrs.
It's
Red.
Our general counsel for Lafayette College.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Leslie told me that John won like the most prestigious award in his high school. That's like, is it by student vote?
No, I don't. So I won this award called I have a great story to go along with this. I won this award called the Will Corey Award for positive attitude. And this was a kid who passed away, but was just really happy, a great and outgoing student. Mm. And I won this award, and it's actually one of my favorite stories. And so I won this award in the afternoon, and I go over to my friend's house, and we like order pizza, or his friend's parents order pizza because it was like an award. And we have like Coca-Cola, like one of those big plastic containers of Coke. And we're outside, we're playing around, and we finish all this Coke. And I couldn't tell you why we just didn't throw away this big plastic Coke bottle, but we didn't. And we're like, how do we get rid of it? And my friend had like this hedge of bushes. And we thought for some reason that we wanted to just like secretively like get rid of this Coke bottle. So we started like throwing this Coke bottle like into the tree and over this hedge of bushes after I won this award. And like little did I know that like there was a glass window from the kitchen looking out onto this like hedge of bushes, and like both parents were just looking at us trying to throw this bottle over these bushes. And my parents come by later in the day to pick me up, and the friend's dad like looks at my mom or my dad who comes and picks me up and was like, how proud, like you must be proud that your son won the award. Well, guess what I saw him doing later in the day.
Yeah, this kid was just trying to chuck a plastic bottle over a hedge of bushes, and I'm like, oh yeah, good talk. No, this was like in.
But
like,
I mean, just the thing is, no one's perfect.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
throwing it out there.
No, it's also perfect. So classic. It's like that's what you end up getting the memory from. It's like you just won this award. I mean, yeah. I can so like, see it with my so parents. Oh my god.
And it's like a hysterical story, and I it's love like, his friends. This is like a Mr. Sonic. He's just the man. And he just I didn't do this justice telling the story, but it's a hysterical one.
It's so. Like, you know, the award was nice, but
Here's the story of your son throwing this bottle.
He was throwing this bottle
over onto the neighbor's yard, just trying to get rid of it. What a great guy.
Okay, I have two comments before we move on to the next song. One, another Jew from Philly suburbs is Abby Jacobson from Broad City.
Oh my God, love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
So I wonder if she's from Bryn Mawr. I wonder if she's around
there's
there.
There's a bunch of people from the suburbs who I didn't know.
Yeah.
Do you know Broad City?
No.
Oh.
It's like one of the funniest shows ever.
Really?
You would love it.
I love that show.
You would love it.
Really? That's a big... That's...
and it's so new, but it's such good Jewish New York humor. Really? But she's not from New York. Neither of them are from the city, actually. They both
Where's
moved there.
From?
Long Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, both of them are sort of close, and then I mean I love them. Anyway,
the Birthright episode might be one of my favorite. There's a scene where they're going on Birthright Israel, and
I've not done that.
This guy, we should talk about that. But this guy goes up to the front. He's like, "Hi, my name's Jonathan G. I'm gay and proudly out of the closet, mazel mazel. But I'm looking for a nice Jewish girl to settle down with."
Mazel mazel.
I have no idea what this episode is like, but
it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Apparently, they wanted to film in Israel. They didn't, but they wanted to go there, and then it would be Drake as the perfect Jew, and it'd be like the perfect Jew, and it would be Drake. And then my second comment is that I know you did not have a good experience at Tulane. That's where my dad wanted me to go to school.
Wait, let me take that back. I had a good experience at Tulane, but I am much happier here. Let me revise that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because of McAlvey.
Yes, exactly.
And Professor McLeod. Let's talk about Professor McLeod next time. Let's get to the next.
We miss you, Mangala. What's the next song, John?
What's the next song? Okay, we're switching
don't think
into
twice,
a
it's
little
all
right. softer rock. Don't Think Twice, It's All Right by Bob Dylan. And then we have Joni Mitchell and Angels from Montgomery. So Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
Well, it ain't no use sit and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. It ain't no use in the turning on your light, baby, the light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, baby, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's all right. So it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child I am told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's alright. So long, honey dear, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. Don't think twice, it's all right.
Back with 200 High Street. We're here with John White. We've already had a very animated discussion, and John just came up with a great idea. John, can you share your idea?
Yeah, so I mean, like, part of like, I read a lot, and part of why I read is like to have conversations with professors, and I see that like through reading their books. So like, what I really want is that just have I propose like just having dinners with professors, and like that might sound a little weird, but
no, but I think it's a great idea, and I think like if you did it through the framework of McKelvey, yeah, where like once a month you could have first come first serve, 5 to 10 students get to sign up for dinner with professor whomever you said, maybe like a professor of neuroscience, a professor of history, you know, people in different disciplines.
Yeah, I mean, like, so many professors are doing just interesting work and things I have no idea or have no clue what they're doing. And I think just being, or just learning what they're doing, and I mean, it would just be such a great experience. I mean,
I agree. Awesome. And sometimes the truth is that, like, you know, going to a lecture and then asking questions after is a wonderful way to get to know someone's work. But sometimes some of the most interesting intellectual conversations I've had have literally been over like drinks dinner, because people are less stressed, more relaxed. You're just asking questions, having a real interaction. All right. So who have some of your favorite professors at Lafayette been to date?
Ben the date. That's a tough one.
Not really. You always talk about Professor McLeod.
Wow. So Professor McLeod's great. Highly suggest any of his classes. I'm in two of his classes at the same time.
Why do you like him as a professor?
I think he treats like the art of teaching, like coming to class and just teaching, as important as the actual subject material. He puts such an emphasis on both that it provides this like great atmosphere, and there's just such a great enthusiasm. I mean, he'll come in the class right on time every day, and he'll go straight to the podium, put his drink down, his mug down, open up his book and say, "Let's get into it right now," and like turn to a page, no questions, nothing else, and we'll flip to a page and we'll start. And like that enthusiasm and how the captivate the students' attention is just like awesome. It's just such a great experience. I mean, there's so many professors who think like who are so smart, really brilliant, but don't know how to teach. And it's seeing the combination of that, where there's an emphasis on the material but also the art of teaching, that is wonderful. And it's just a really cool environment.
I like how you call it the art of teaching, because I think there is something really performative to teaching.
Without a doubt.
And when people are good at it, it's
it's an experience.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm like enjoying this. It's like,
And you remember the teaching, if not as much or even more than the subject. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's always what I take away sometimes, is the teachers and the teaching more than the subject. Because sometimes the subject, you just learn other stuff and you forget about it.
Yeah. I can't say that specifically here. but yes, I agree. Like, I think it also helps, like, connect the two.
Yeah.
Like, you might remember the teaching with the subject, and, like, having that mental connection helps you really define it better.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, and I think it's also really, what you said is actually quite astute, even though it sounds like a simple statement, that when you're reading a book, you feel like you're in conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. And I think most intellectuals, whether they're academics or, you know, just people who like to live the life of the intellectual, even if they're investment bankers, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That, not saying that you can't be both, John, in case. The reality is, like, reading and writing, it's all really about an intellectual conversation, right? That moves, that ebbs and flows, in which different people participate at different times. And I think, like, in terms of teaching, it's also really wonderful when the methodology helps you to better understand the subject, but also, as Ben, to get to what Ben was saying, also helps you to understand how to have conversations. Yeah. And I think that's also one of the reasons why McKelvey is one of my favorite things that I do on this campus. And it's in part because students learn in so many respects so easily and so well how to have intellectual conversations. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's all, like, just also just the structure to a conversation.
Yeah, which I exactly. think
is, goes with, like, how to have a conversation. I mean, you really see in this class how there, I don't think a lot of people appreciate it, but how there is, like, an underlying structure, and how, mm-hmm. Like an essay, where you break up an essay into certain points.
Right.
How, and then at the end, they almost all come together to form this cohesive conclusion. There is that in being a professor and being a teacher.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that isn't really appreciated as much as it should be.
Mm.
And I think that's just a testament to the class.
Mm. And to Professor McCloud.
And the Professor McCloud.
McCloud.
Oh, my God.
I miss Mongala.
Ben is trying to imitate Mongala.
Mongala.
Okay, stop.
I miss you.
Okay. All right, why don't we introduce the next
song? Okay, what's the next song?
So, yeah, the next two songs are much slower. So you have California by Joni Mitchell and Angel from Montgomery, the live version by, I can't even pronounce her name.
Bonnie Raitt.
Yes, there you go. And these are just two songs where, like, they're just great. They're just, like, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, you can't see it, but, like, my hands are moving, you have, like, your chest, like, tightened up. It's like, oh, it's wonderful. So we'll move into that now.
A chance that was just a dream some of us had. Still a lot of lands to see, but I wouldn't want to stay here. It's too old and cold and settled in its ways here. All the California, California, coming home. I'm gonna see the folks I dig. I'll even kiss the sunset peak. California, coming home. But he kept my camera to sell. Oh, the rogue, the red rogue. He cooked good omelets and stews, and I might have stayed on with him there, but my heart cried out for you. California, oh, California, coming home. Oh, make me feel good, rock and roll band. I'm your biggest fan, California, I'm coming home. Soft.
people there reading Rolling Stone, reading Vogue. I said, how long can you hang around? I said, a week, maybe two, just until my skin turns brown and I'm going home to California. California, I'm coming home. Oh, will you take me as I am, strung out on
gone.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not like that?
Wait, she didn't.
Oh.
No, it's over.
Oh, it's over. Okay. So, I mean, like, how could you not like that? These were great songs. Like, that slow music, it just hits the heart. So that's all I have, but...
well, it's been a pleasure, again, at 200 High Street with Ben Gordon and John White. Snowing outside.
Today... Maybe I'm not going to say it. Today was 200 Chew Street.
Oh my God, Ben. Wait, but that's funny because you know that high in Armenian means Armenian.
Right? Really?
Yep. Oh, I had my friend Susan Barba, every time her grandfather was like, he died at the age of like 107. Every yep. time someone would come up to him and say hi, he would say, "How did you know I was Armenian?" Anyway, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you, John. Good luck with the rest of the semester. Ben,
class is the day.
Fabulous senior.
Yes. We'll be here next week.
Next week with mystery guest. John gets to a point who goes next.
Really?
Yes.
I would have to think. I don't know who's gone so far. I did no research on this before coming
wonderful.
In.
Don't say that on the air. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Great Bye. Snow.